You're listening to CounterTalks, Canada's podcast for the equipment and event rental industry. CounterTalks is a presentation of Canadian Rental Service Magazine. Now here's your host, Patrick Flannery.
Hey folks, it's Pat coming to you here again from CounterTalks. I wanted to try something a little bit different today. Maybe a little bit scary for me. I have to try to do this without too many mistakes, but we'll give it a whirl and see how it works out. Of course, I am able to edit this, so hopefully I'm not going to make too much work for poor Carrie Fredericks, our digital editor who puts these together. Anyways, I was at the CRA National Show in Ottawa a couple of weeks ago. I guess that was at the end of January, so more than a couple of weeks ago, close to a month ago now. Whenever I'm at these shows, I always have so many. I think one of the big reasons to go to shows is to have these great conversations. You know, you just have so much interesting back and forth with the people on the show floor. You learn so much just from those conversations, and of course, it's always difficult for me to bring all of that to you because these are, you know, a day or two of conversations that how do you pass those along? Obviously, I still can't do that. But and definitely encourage you to go to your go to whatever rental show you can get to. But what I'm going to try to do today is I did record quite a bit of audio and quite a bit of conversations that I had at the show. I've chopped most of that up into clips, sort of highlights, little snippets of the great conversations that I had. So I wanted to bring you some voices, some sounds, some input from the show, and hopefully you'll enjoy hearing them as much as I enjoyed the conversations as I had them. To start us off, the first day of the national show was a conference session at the beautiful Westin Hotel with these lovely views overlooking Ottawa. You can see some of my photos of that actually on LinkedIn. And there were a number of presentations throughout the day. A nice audience there of rental people taking that in. And the first one I'm going to play for you here is just a clip from the rental panel. They had a panel of experts up there. There were experts. They were rental people. Dan Crowley of Peer Executive Group sort of emceed really a number of the things during the day, and we're going to hear from him a little bit later. But he moderated this panel. On the panel was Ken Souser of Festival Event and Party, Jim Bellwood from the Canadian Propane Association, Brett Armstrong from Double R Rentals, and Drew Moitko of Western Financial, the insurance provider for the CRA Insurance. And what we're going to hear here, first of all, is a little clip from Drew, just sort of talking about the influences on insurance premiums, which kind of works as a proxy for the state of the industry and the economic conditions we've all been facing. So here's Drew.
You have a tough market with increase in losses, a pandemic, and then also low interest environment, which insurance companies, again, that's the second way they make money. One is it's underwriting losses and gains, what they took in versus what they paid out. The rest is what they invest. So those things, two things are, claims are high and what interest rates are low. What happens? We call that a hard market. They raise your rates. And there's some industries that really got beaten over the brow with it. Things specifically with, let's say, the hospitality industry, the hotels, pubs, where they saw 50, 100, 150% increases in insurance costs like that. So fortunately, we didn't see that in the rental industry. Where we're headed in the future, like I said, we're starting to see the market, I don't want to say fully soften, but it's starting to return back to normal. So it doesn't mean everybody's costs are going to go back to where they were 5 years ago. It just means gone, hopefully, the days of, let's say, pretty significant increases. And that is a welcome thing for us and our role as brokers who represent you as businesses to hopefully see some more stable times in the future.
So that was Drew. Like he said, hopefully some more stable times coming up. I think we're all hoping that the interest rates start to slide down a little bit at the end of this year. That will hopefully pull us out of this little bit of a stale, flat period. I think we've all been going through, and we'll see things start to perk up again, and a little more activity start to happen. Maybe at the end of this year, the start of next year. That's my extremely amateur prediction, but it appears that maybe Drew agrees with some of that. Okay, next up is Dan Crowley. As I said, Peer Executive Group, they're management consultants. Dan had just a ton of great content. He did a presentation generally on labor retention and how to create a great culture in your company. And he just made a terrific point in this section that that I really liked, and I'll pick up on it after we hear from Dan.
Okay, so your values, your personality, your behavior, those are going to be things that may attract you to a specific candidate. How many people have run across a candidate for your business when you're out and about? Like, let's say going to a restaurant or a diner, anything like that, where you steal an employee or give them a card and say, hey, if you're ever not happy, give me a call. So something about their behavior, perhaps. And I'll even go further to say it might be the values that you feel are important. This one might be how they do the role. So they may have a certain attitude about their business, their behavior, even personality. And then last is how would you measure success on a right person, right? Not their job, but having a right person, how would you measure their success? So here's a quote: having the talent that lives your core values, talk what that is, subscribes to your vision and is accountable and disciplined to achieve your goals. So you get more of what you want out of your business. So the idea is to surround yourself with the right people. All right, so here we're supposed to pause, and if you had a pen or had a paper out on your table, I want you to think about, even if you only have three employees in your company, I want you to think about a key employee and what you value about that employee. Just take a minute and think about that and/or scratch it out on paper. We'll talk about it. Some kind of element of that employee that you find is critical to the success of your business, something that you really appreciate about them. Chat over there, Sheldon.
I have added his attitude and his dedication.
Ooh, attitude and dedication. Good ones. What else? Anyone else at this table? What else? Customer focus and responsive. And
Work ethic and the ability to make the most.
Great. Work ethic, ability to make their own decisions. How about this thing? Attention to detail. Good one.
Moral values.
Moral values.
Motivation.
Motivation.
Ability to problem solve.
Ability to problem solve. So these are great. Really good. Well done. Now, how hard was that to come up with those? Wasn't that hard, right? So you in the back did the same exercise. So I thought this is one of my most favorite exercises when it comes to figuring out values, right? So when you think about your two or three best employees and what you value about them, it really is an indication of your company.
Isn't that a great point? I like that point. Think about what you would want in an ideal employee, and that is a statement of your company's values. I think thinking about your values as a company and mission statements and all that kind of thing, a lot of people, would view that as fluff or view that as, this is stuff that the management people tell you to do that, who cares, or, it's silly. I know what my values are. But believe it or not, I think it's actually important to think about that at some point for your business, for no other reason than establishing your business's identity is part of your branding. It's part of the message that you put out into the world about your business, and it's part of how you differentiate yourself from all the other businesses that are out there. And of course, all of us would like to attach all of the good words and all the good things we can think of. Every word that those guys used in the group about the ideal employee, you would like that to attach to your business. Dedicated, hardworking, detail-oriented, great attitude, positive, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you'd like to attach everything. But the fact of the matter is, not every business can be all things. So there is actually a process in determining the identity and the brand of your business where you choose what are the most important things for you. And that starts with your values as a business. It starts with who we are and why we think we're good. And that what Dan offered there was sort of a very simple way, without doing a lot of soul searching and investigation and thinking and, you know, staying up at night. This is just a simple way to get to that answer. What would the number one things be in an employee that I'm looking for? Well, that probably indicates what your values are and what you're trying to have your business be like, and how your business is going to be successful. So I really like that point, and I thought it was a very cute, simple trick that Dan was able to present to everybody right there. Okay, moving on. There was also a cybersecurity panel on the conference day, and Andrea Torozzo of Dolden Wallace Fulick Law Firm is coming up next here. And she was addressing, she addressed a number of things. There was a whole cybersecurity presentation by that law firm. Very well done, very educated group. But right here, she's talking just about some of the most common cyber privacy risks. What are people going to try to do to get your information, to steal your information, and what are the risks of that? So here's Andrea.
So here we have a list of some common cyber privacy risks. I've gone through some ransomware examples now recently in the news. Now, ransomware can be with or without the threat of exposure. So there's something called double extortion with ransomware that's getting quite popular, where yes, you might pay your ransom to the threat actor, but are they really not going to disclose your data, or are they really not really going to delete it? So sometimes we have threat actors that you'll pay the money, but they'll still post the information on the dark web, where they won't give you the encryption key after. So that's known as double extortion, and that is wildly increased in recent days, even. Now, business email compromise, fairly typical. We all know what that involves. It has gotten a lot more sophisticated, spoofing emails that look like they come from within your organization, or getting you to divert funds that are transactions that seem legitimate, but now they're asking you to divert the monies to a different account, et cetera. So that's a little bit more sophisticated than the Saudi prince asking for money that we used to see 10, 15 years ago. And now we have website manipulation and credential harvesting. Again, that's just credit card scammers when you're checking out online. With COVID, more online purchasing, we're seeing a lot more of that as well. And employee misconduct and error. We never like to hear that one, but it's an unfortunate reality. It was a very, very large Desjardins breach last year because an internal employee was actually stealing and harvesting personal information from customers. So it happens, and it's very important to know what your corporate position is on that, how that's dealt with internally, and how to protect against that and insure against it as well.
So that was Andrea talking about cybersecurity risks, and you know, just some quick things there to be aware of and to be on guard against. I think this is something that is you know, a bigger concern from everybody. Just about everybody's had an experience now of being hacked. Certainly, we all have experiences of having spoof emails go around. They are getting more sophisticated. It's harder to tell sometimes if they don't come from the source that they claim to come from. Key element there, I think, to tell everybody in the organization is to look at the actual email address before opening anything that seems remotely questionable, because frequently, you know, there'll be one letter different in there or something that shouldn't be there. It'll be misspelled, and that's one easy way to tell that it's the wrong thing. Anyways, up next here, so that was some outtakes from the conference day, some excellent information offered there. Next day was the trade show floor, and I moved around there, had more great conversations with some of the exhibitors, and I'm sorry I can't get everybody in, but I picked out some highlights and some different things that we talked about. First up here is Kevin Morag from Dimax. They are makers of fuel cubes, portable fuel transportation cubes. He is the operations manager at Dimax. And my question to him was, what are some common mistakes that people make when they're using their fuel cubes? And here's what he had to say.
No.
Overusing the pumps.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I would say sometimes they just let the pumps run without actually dispensing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It burns out the pumps.
Is that bad?
It is because the pumps, some pumps have like a 30-minute duty cycle, mm-hmm. where after that, then it can just start burning out and wearing out prematurely.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, like I would say that's the biggest problem.
There you go. So don't say you never heard anything useful on counter talks. There's a solid tip. Don't run those pumps on the fuel cubes without actually having them flow something through, because it's hard on them and it'll burn them out. Next up was Phil Malosh from Hilti. Hilti is making a kind of a neat splash at the shows these days, because they have this device that straps around the waist. And then it has a metal arm that comes over the back of the person with an arm that comes out in front of them with a cable that comes down. And this cable attaches to the breaker, and it actually assists you to, it takes the weight of the breaker and basically distributes it down to your waist and your hips and your legs instead of being held by your back and your shoulders. And obviously this makes it much easier to carry and maneuver the breaker. So, I got Phil to explain, just why this was a good idea and something people might want to look into.
There's safety features to make sure that the tool, if it binds in the concrete, that it doesn't come back and hit you.
That's what I was thinking.
And knock you off at either a scaffolding or, a Skyjack or any of those machines that are out there,
break
that,
your arm
and break your arm or actually swing you right off the platform.
Whoops, that was a bit of a weird one. That was actually Phil talking about the vibration control. Here's more on the actual lifting and ergonomic device.
You're trying to alleviate the pain and the strain that is on the worker so they can perform longer and not feel like they're exhausted at the end of the day, that tomorrow when they come back to work, they still have some strength and power to be able to sustain them through the day.
Yeah.
And it comes through multiple ways, right? It has to do with weight, has to do with vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the tools we're trying to develop is to take off, strain off the off the body by either reducing the weight or
machine. And you want to investigate. So you want to determine first how many systems are affected. Is it one computer? Is it two computers? Is it your entire server? Is it your cloud?
Okay, not sure how Don got started again there. I must have hit a wrong button. I told you this was going to be a high wire act. Anyways, you heard a bit of Phil there talking about the Hilti ergonomic system, so that's kind of a neat thing. Would be interested to hear from anybody how much call we're getting for that out there. It's something that companies, certainly contractors, could look into if they wanted to reduce their WSIB claims, because I know that and WCB claims if you're in a different part of the country outside of Ontario, it can be a concern, and these repetitive stress injuries and strains and you know, over time, it wears the workers down. And anything that that I think a company can do to alleviate that is, you know, possibly going to show up on their bottom line and in their premiums. Okay, well, hopefully the technical glitches are over for now, and we'll move on to Mayank Joshi from Prexa. Prexa is a rental software provider, and Mayank had some thoughts on the limits of offering e-commerce as in a B2B operation.
I mean, from a B2C business where you're directly dealing with consumer, yes, you know, the e-commerce website would make more sense. But in the B2B scenario, I have not seen that work very well. People still want to call. People still want to talk to someone. And but whoever they are talking to should not be on pen and paper finding their sheets. You know, who am I talking to? Whoever, and then taking down the notes, right? They should have a proper system. And
good point. You should have a proper system. I don't think too many of us are just using pen and paper anymore. But that was his thoughts, anyways. It's just, I think it is true that you know, e-commerce comes up to a point in our industry and in B2B. There's probably more and more people out there that are interested in renting just online, right off your website. But you know, by and large, it's still pretty much a matter of getting into a store, getting in front of a human being, having a discussion about what's needed, getting some instruction on using the equipment if necessary, and going from there. And I'm not sure we're at the point where we're not going to see still a lot of that, especially in homeowner like contractor rentals. You know, big chain, big store, ongoing accounts that are just renting the same thing day in and day out and rolling it over. Okay, you know, I have them do more and more of it online. I'm sure a lot of them already are. But in our smaller stores, in our independent stores, I think e-commerce is probably, it's still a while out before it's the primary way that people rent things. Next up is David Franzini from PB Canada. They are kind of a new entry to the scene. It's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to David. Hadn't seen them around the shows before, and we had a good conversation. They are a Lyft importer, Lyft dealer. They have a line called Spider, and we talked about his new locations. We talked about some of the interest in hybrid lifts, hybrid battery diesel or electric diesel combinations, and the fact that David is looking for dealers. So here's my conversation with David Franzini.
Location in Canada. Tell me all about that.
Yes, that's correct. We as a Platform Basket, as Italian manufacturer, for us, the market in North America and in Canada is very important, and for this reason lately, last year, we decided to open up a proper office, a direct office located in Toronto. The name is PB Canada, so we can offer to all of our today partners and future partners a proper service here in Canada, covering all the country. And so all our products range, both Spider Lift and Spider Cranes, will be available. We'll have a stock here in Canada and a proper service.
Great. So you're going to bring in some machines and you're going to have them on site in Toronto.
That's correct. We already have.
Yeah.
We already started to create a stock, and we try to have the best sellers, of course, but trying to have all the products range here available in Toronto. To
what can you get off the floor right now? What do you have on the floor right now?
Now we have the 64 feet machines that is called Spider 2095, available both standard the energy diesel and electric motor, oh, or hybrid, yeah, petrol engine and lithium battery pack.
Cool.
Then we have a 72 feet,
yeah,
and a 90 feet machine.
Wow, a 90 footer, right?
Yeah. And well, 90 footer.
Available also in hybrid?
Available also in hybrid.
Very
That's
nice.
Correct. That's
yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
All our machines are available in three different versions, standard, mm-hmm, hybrid, or fully electric.
Great. You, are you finding lots of interest in the hybrid?
Let's say that it's getting more and more.
More and more, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's growing.
It's
right?
growing. Yeah. It's a growing market.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys are still comfortable with the diesel, and you know, because that's what they've always used. But I think they know that they're going to have to.
That's correct. Indeed, I have to admit that the diesel is still the most common. Fully electric still a niche, but what is growing is the ED, the hybrid, because you still have the diesel engine as main power, but then the lithium battery pack that can give you more versatility working, yeah, electric everywhere.
Quiet operation. It'll meet the environmental standards if you're on working on a public, like a hospital,
exactly,
or something like that.
And
indoors if you want. Yeah.
Because our machine, the Spiders, is designed to work indoor, outdoor, everywhere,
right,
because they are so compact and with the trucks.
Beautiful.
And lithium is also giving the opportunity to work as much as efficient as the diesel engine. So with the same power, so you don't have, because you know, with electric motors, especially 110 volt here, it's quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
With lithium batteries, it gives you a proper power.
Right, right. Service person at your Toronto location? Do you have personnel in country?
With the mentality of manufacturer, we are doing a proper workshops. So we are finding partners to cover all the countries, so to offer a proper service all over the country.
Right. So there's a chance out there for a rental store if they want to be a service depot?
Absolutely, yes. This would be for us very interesting, because more we can, spread our service and our location, and better is for us.
Beautiful Italian manufacturing, right?
Yeah.
Made in Italy? Yeah.
That's correct.
Whereabouts?
In the location is Reggio Emilia, in the north part of Italy, where they call us the Crane Valley, because lots of companies are there. We have a very long experience in the art of manufacturing. My family is 50 years old that is manufacturing products.
Wow.
Platform Basket is 20 years old. But I can tell you that this product is 100% manufactured by us, because we start from the raw material,
mm-hmm,
up to the...
There you go. They're taking it right from the steel all the way to finished cranes and lifts. And yeah, good conversation with David. I always like to hear from new people exhibiting at the show. Next up, we went to Troy Steele at Brock. Brock makes the automated demolition robots. And just a short comment from Brock on when you want to think about offering an automated solution.
Yeah, so the Brock demolition robots, really, the biggest focus is interior demolition.
Yeah.
So anything inside where you can't have any fumes, you need to have the operator in a safe area. Working overhead, you don't want debris falling on an operator. It's really designed to be more productive, safer, and you have that zero emission factor as well.
Right, right. So it's
So, yeah, just I hadn't thought about the possibility of things falling on your head, but obviously that would be a concern if you were doing, say, inside an apartment block or something with a full concrete shell, and you're getting up into the roof. Yeah, let's keep the operator out of there if possible, and let the stuff fall down on the machine, I suppose, if you still want to minimize that. But yeah, it's a better option than having the operator catch one in the head. Next up was Ann Nelson from Power 2. Power 2 does job site power distribution, battery charging, generators, that kind of thing. And I got talking with Ann about what you have to think about specifically here in cold Canada when you're offering these sorts of solutions.
The top two things that come to mind are going to be, especially in Canada, ones that can withstand low temperatures.
Yeah.
They need to be able to be reliable even in those low temperatures. And then number two, you need to be able to access them remotely, right? You don't want to have to go out to a job site to do small minor maintenance things. So if you can access the power information remotely, that's really what you want. And you want to make sure you can control components remotely, control generators remotely, and have that remote view so that you're not constantly going out to the site to make adjustments.
No question. We don't want to have to be going out to the site any more than we have to, especially in some parts of our fair country where the roads might not be so good and your equipment might be a long way away. So good points there from Ann. Next up was the mighty Tom Bell, better known possibly to many of you as Captain Canada, as he appears at all of our ARA hospitality nights and the ARA events. He is a character for sure, and he's been around in this lift business up here in Canada for a very long time. And I had he's with Sizzle Lift, and I had a great story from Tom about his trip to China to see the manufacturing facilities over there for some of the Sizzle Lift equipment that they carry.
First got to China, a couple of things that struck me was how modern the city was. It's completely not what I expected.
Right.
I get down to the factory, and it was massive. We're talking about 900,000 square feet for a single factory.
For a lift factory.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we're doing a tour of the factory. The automation that I saw was just unreal.
Mm.
You don't have thousands of workers building equipment. And again, what you think of China and think of how they manufacture things, just think the opposite. It's completely different.
Really, yeah.
We went through the line. The painting processes are beyond anything I've ever seen.
Untouched by human hands, type thing. Yeah,
it's all totally automated, and dip tanks to clean the steel. The quality of the paint processes are amazing, and it's I'm sure it's all manufacturers, not just LG.
Mm-hmm.
LG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when I got to the end of the line, one of the things that I was blown away by was the PDI checks. So at the end of the line, the machine goes through a series of tests, including lasers.
Yeah.
At various different angles, they're checking everything on that machine before it goes out. So when you're done, if you have some sort of failure at the PDI level, it comes off the line, and as I say, it goes to the hospital.
Yeah,
and it comes back in and goes through PDI again. It's not released.
So that was Tom Bell talking about his trip to China. And some of the manufacturing that he saw over there. And that really agrees with the one time I went to China. This was way back in 2010, but it honestly is mind-blowing. We can't really wrap our heads very easily here around the scale of the industry and the commerce that is going on there with a billion people in one country. Amazing amounts of industry, container ships covering the ocean, tower cranes going out to the horizon in Shanghai, everything actually extremely modern, but much more so than here. It's hard to describe unless you see it. If you ever get a chance to go and you haven't, do it, because the there is another level that business can be conducted on that I'm not sure that we're entirely familiar with. Next up, I had a long conversation with Sheldon Fingler from Infinite Events, also at the time CRA president, now CRA past president. Sheldon's just a great guy to chat with, and I could have probably just posted our entire conversation as a podcast by itself. But in the interest of time, I have chopped out Sheldon talking about a topic that's been interesting me a bit lately, It seems like more and more rental stores are getting involved in also new equipment sales and being dealers for new equipment. This seems to be a growing trend, a more common thing. And more dealers and new equipment OEMs and their distributors and dealers are seem to be offering rentals. So there used to be a slightly brighter line between those, or there would only be a few companies that did both. Now it seems to be becoming more and more common, and the line is blurring. And I basically asked Sheldon why he thought that was happening.
Well, I wish I knew the exact answer, but I know the landscape is changing. I think one of the biggest things that comes into play is the competitiveness of the market is changing.
Okay.
So people are becoming more aggressive and finding new ways and to market and sell their equipment. And so they're finding that relationships that they wouldn't entertain before, now they're more open to, because it really boils down to having your equipment in as many hands as possible.
Yes.
And I think and we see this in other areas too. This isn't just our industry. And I'll even take on something more related to my side of the world, on the event side. So years ago, the world was small. You could get your event equipment from a very niche selection of people, linens, supplies, table chairs. Pardon me. Now, you can go on Amazon and order stuff from an importer, and that's going to arrive tomorrow morning at your door with Amazon, and that changes the market. So,
and in volumes,
absolutely in volumes. So that makes it harder on these brick and mortar distributors and manufacturers. So they want to make sure they're accessible. So I think that's the biggest part of it, and that's
so Sheldon's answer came down basically to. Look, it's a way to get your equipment out there and improve your market presence and your visibility and just your footprint out there and to drive sales basically going both ways. So that was an interesting answer to me. I think there could be other elements as well. I imagine that a lot of dealers simply looked at it and said, well, every time someone walks in here and then walks out without buying a machine, we're leaving money on the table. If we can offer them a rental, why wouldn't we? Of course, these days with software, it's easier, I think, to offer a rental option when you already have all the rest of the infrastructure for maintaining and storing machinery, transporting, delivering machinery. The operations aspect of it has been greatly simplified in some respects. So that's one of my pet theories on it. Sheldon, I think had a good point there as well. So anyways, hope you enjoyed this little sort of virtual visit to the CRA National Show in Ottawa back in January. I do encourage everybody to get out to your shows whenever you can. This of course was the tip of the iceberg. It's always a full day of interesting conversations and learning. And I'll point out your next opportunity to do that, or one of your next opportunities to do that, is going to be the Canadian Rental Mart happening in Calgary for the first time ever outside of Ontario, September 11th and 12th this year, and at the BMO Center at the Calgary Stampede Grounds. Definitely have to see all the Westerners out there, but come on in from wherever you are. We're going to have a great show, and we've got the good folks of Turf and Rec magazine, Lawn Care and Landscaping. They are going to be joining us and inviting all of their readers to come to the show as well. So we're going to have lots of landscape contractors at the show, in addition to our regular group of rental stores. We're also going to be inviting My audience from Canadian Contractor Magazine, home renovation contractors, custom home builders. We're going to be telling them, come on out, check out the machinery that you're going to be renting in the next year, and see what the rental industry and the landscaping industry has to offer as far as machinery and equipment, and maybe, you know, bump into some people that can help you out in your business. So that's happening September 11th and 12th. CanadianRentalMart.com is the website to register. Want to see you all there. So thanks again for joining Counter Talks. I'm Pat Flannery. Thanks to Carrie for producing this, and see you all next time.
Thanks for joining us for Counter Talks. You can find Counter Talks episodes online at CanadianRentalService.com or on the major podcasting services. Counter Talks is a presentation of Canadian Rental Service Magazine.